Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon Series anime or sometimes a special episode of the Pokemon Series anime and whatever else comes to our minds. Just a reminder, this podcast is E for explicit, so viewer or listener rather, discretion is advised. I'm your host Alex and I'm here with my co-host Austin.
Hello people.
And a warm, wonderful welcome to our other co-host, Jacob.
Boo!
This is where I would put my third co-host, if I had one. Sadly, Jacob is not able to join us this week.
Okay, this is a very weird episode. And not just because Ash Ketchum is not in it. This is a weird episode because we were recording, as per usual, the three of us. And then, right as we got past week talk into the 30-second summary, Jacob suddenly announced, I have to go now.
His people needed him, and he had to go.
And we were like, okay, we'll keep going without him. And then he showed up like an hour later, and he was like, there's baby shit, just baby stuff happening. I can't deal with you right now, basically.
I mean, I guess there was literal baby shit everywhere, or something like that. I'm not really sure exactly.
But then he didn't save the damn audio file. So we've lost out on 20 minutes of content, I'd say.
Yes. So just to recap, Jacob is fine. He was joining us. It was regularly scheduled programming until an unexpected situation occurred in which
a baby cried.
Yes. We completely understood that he had parental duties to take care of. But then, unfortunately, he was not able to return. And so we had to finish out the episode, which you will see. But we, Austin and I, are re-recording this intro, and we're going to just redo the whole
intro.
Week talk, right?
And yeah,
intro.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But the rest of it, I'm going to leave untouched. So occasionally you might hear someone say, I wonder where Jacob is.
Yeah, so just in case you're wondering what the fuck is going on, that's the story.
Leave five stars
and also support us on our Patreon.
Yeah, and leave a review. We haven't gotten one in like 2 years. So what we're doing today is the Legend of Thunder special that aired in Japan as a TV special along the lines of that YouTube Returns thing we watched. But this was dubbed as the first three episodes of Pokemon Chronicles, which was essentially the four kids' creation of taking bonus and special episodes and making a 22-episode season out of them.
So repackaging it into a tight little bow and then just being like, here you go.
Which I'm glad they did. I'm glad they took the time to do that. They saw profit in that, because otherwise all that content would have gone undubbed, you know?
That's true. I'm glad they did. So as of right now, like our podcast in particular, we did one previous Pokemon Chronicles episode, and that was like the Pikachu's winter vacation.
I think technically we've done three Chronicles episodes before now. Okay.
Which ones were those? Do you remember?
Some Pikachu and Pichu shit. I don't know.
Okay. So not like an actual, like, this is special because it's kind of like a TV movie thing, but it's branded under the Chronicles label. And it's kind of a, would you consider it to be canon?
Yeah, it is canon. We're going to discuss in our recording, a lot of these characters appear after this.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Gotcha. Oh, I remember
that. This is canon to Pokemon series. It's not like Origins or anything like that.
You'd be surprised at how much I forget in one day, because we're recording this on a Monday. So literally yesterday we recorded the other episode and I've forgotten already. So there you go. It was a long Monday, I will say. But yeah, so that's a little background on that. I know we mentioned Legend of Thunder before, so here we are.
Raikou's big moment is finally here.
Operation Great Big Raikou. Raikou?
Who knows?
Suicune, Suicune. We never messed up Entei's name, though. I guess there's nothing really to mess up.
You know why? Because Entei has the best movie.
Entei.
Oh, don't even get me started. I still say Suicune in my brain.
I know. I had to stop myself real quick and say it. I was about to say Suicune and Suicune, but I was like, wait, no, that's not right. So, Austin, okay, so now we got the background out of the way and established. I guess we're going to redo our week talk.
I got nothing to say. I don't even remember what we talked about yesterday.
I don't remember what we talked about yesterday, sadly, but I did have something I could talk about today that I did.
Yes.
Having fun isn't hard when you got a library card.
And now you got me having the FOMO and I want to go to the library with you.
The library is a magical place. I think more people need to go to their local libraries. Like, support your local libraries, people.
What time does it close? Let's go now.
Well, they close in like 30 minutes.
So. Ah, damn it.
And I just showered. I don't want to go back out. But yes, I went to the library. It was magical. They have so many things at the library that you wouldn't expect. And I'm very eager to utilize those resources at the library. You can get, one thing I learned was, in addition to checking out books, which obviously you can do at the library, they have like passes to different things around town. So you can like check out these passes and use them to go to different venues. So it's like super cool. So I was like, oh my God, I had no idea you could do this. And she's like, oh yeah, go to our library. There's all these things. And I was like, I will do that. I will do that, library girl.
See, this is why I don't go to the library. I don't want to talk to people. I want to get in and get out without saying a single word to anyone.
Well, actually, she was giving me a lot of information. She gave me a little pamphlet, which was really helpful because I think they have to go through the first time because she asked me, she's like, is this your first time here at this library? And I was like, yes, it is.
She had a speech prepared.
Yeah, she had to go through the first time library patron speech.
See, that's what I've been dreading.
Yeah, so you have to go through the first time library patron speech where you learn about how to like check out the books and all this stuff. But it was actually a lot of information. I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, I'm not going to remember anything you've said to me today, but thank you. And then meanwhile, it was really distracting because there was this other lady who was like trying to leave with her books and she kept setting off the alarm. And so at one point, the library girl started laughing in the middle of her like library speech. And I was like, thanks. I got I pretty much got it. Thank you. And so I went on my way. But
was she trying to leave the books without checking them out?
I don't know what she was doing. I was at that point, I was like overwhelmed by like the social aspect of it. I'm like, I just want to get my books that I came for and like leave. So can't deal with all this excitement.
Okay. Do they have current movies in stock?
I didn't explore the library. So this is why we have to go back and explore more deeply. I just was there for a specific book. I would imagine they have movies and DVDs and things. I wonder if they have games. I know some libraries even rent out video games. This one seemed like a smaller branch, so I'm not really sure what they have.
This is getting kind of local now. Does your library card act for the entire county?
The county.
Okay. I think because of that, we can go to one of the really big libraries.
Yeah, I think it works in any of the branches of that library system.
Okay, I got one in particular I'm thinking of that I think would be really fun to explore.
Well, let's make a date out of
it
then.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so that's what I did. So that was really exciting between yesterday and today. I honestly, like I said, can't remember what the hell we talked about of what we did. Oh, we went to visit Jacob and Leslie.
Yes.
I know we did talk about that. We were able to meet their newest addition, so that was really sweet. It was a low-key gathering, only a few people there, obviously. So that was really fun. I don't think we really talked about anything else as far as what we did in the past week, unless you had something.
Nothing notable. Let's just go ahead and get into the Pokemon Chronicles of it all.
All right, so we're going to just jump on in. Austin can put some fun transitional music right here.
I always do.
Enjoy the Legend of Thunder.
All right, you got 30 seconds, Alex. 3, 2, 1, go!
Oh my God. Okay, so we're in a different place now with Gold, Ethan, Jimmy, whatever you want to call him. He's battling a random kid. Team Rocket's there. They live in the mountains with their secret crystal. Marina and Vincent, the other new Barktown kids are there. Marina's in love with Jimmy. There's a battle. Raikou's there. The crystal, like, absorbs the electricity. There's a whole lot of battling, which, you know, can't really describe that. Team Rocket, the like, leaves after the crystal's destroyed. Time. And Raikou's like, yes, I saved you, children. Oh, my God, and I forgot Yusine. Oh, my God, there's too much that goes on.
Who's Yusine? I only know Eugene.
Oh, fuck that. Okay, wait, I do have a question. I'm so sorry, because I, as we all know, I missed the Yusine episode a couple weeks back when he appeared for the Ho-Oh
episode. It's too bad you could never go back and never watch that.
It's too bad. I know. I can't do it. I have to ask, did the Yusine in that version, in the Ho-Oh episode, did he have diamonds on his shirt?
No.
Or did he not? Okay.
I think that's only in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Okay. So he hasn't accessorized yet.
He hasn't upgraded. Got it. Eugene. We'll talk more about Eugene.
We don't have Ash Ketchum today. I'm playing with my hair. We don't have Ash Ketchum today. We have Jimmy.
Oh my God. Speaking of hair.
And his hair. Jimmy's hair. And his hair are here to say hello. Talk about his hair.
I'm kind of curious about his hair care routine. Actually, I'm kind of curious about everybody's hair care routine, because Jimmy has gravity-defying hair. The characters we meet later, Marina and Vincent also. Well, I mean Vincent to a lesser extent, because I feel like you could probably do your hair like that. He just got some spikes or whatever, but like...
I gotta look at Jimmy.
Jimmy's... He's got like the crazy like hair that comes out of the front into like a big like antenna.
Oh, yeah. It goes up and then it goes down. And it comes with three spikes.
Why don't they call him... Well, I guess Ethan was a Heart Gold thing.
Yeah, the name Ethan does not exist yet.
Anyway, his name is Jimmy/Gold/Ethan.
Yep. What do we think about Jimmy/Gold/Ethan?
Generic.
Yeah, he's not exactly very exciting.
No, I mean, he's...
Everyone always is like, let's get someone other than Ash. And I'm like, who, this fucker?
I mean, he's pretty one-dimensional. Like,
he's just a kid.
He doesn't really have any... Yeah, he's just a kid from New Barktown. Like, and I know we'll get into this a little bit later. Like, at least Marina has a goal. It sounds like she's more of a performer type. Honestly, if contests were a thing at this point, like, that's what she sounds like she's doing.
Funny you should mention that.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get into that. I'm not really sure about what Vincent's up to, but Jimmy's just, like, a generic trainer kid who's just like, hey, I'm here.
Going around battling people,
yeah.
I mean, I guess that's really the function of the special, is to be like, well, what happened to the player characters of Crystal? And it's like, well, here they are.
Well, who's Vincent supposed to be based off of? Because...
I don't know. Why does Vincent exist? He's like a... Like, I guess they just needed a third kid to have a Chikorita.
They needed a Chikorita trainer. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Which I am kind of frustrated. I'll get into this a little bit later, too, because I was kind of frustrated at the extreme lack of, like... Not to spoil anything, but we see Typhlosion a good deal, obviously, because Jimmy, that's his Pokemon. And then we do see Meganium kind of towards the middle end part, but we don't see Croconaw but once. I'm like, if this was the time they were going to showcase the Johto starters, they did a shit job of it.
Yeah, I don't even remember Croconaw appearing after this.
He doesn't. And also, what were up with the nicknames that they gave those Pokemon? I don't know.
Yeah, Vincent was inexplicable. The lack of silver is really alarming.
Yeah, he didn't show up. Although, he wouldn't really have fit in here, I think.
No.
I
mean, okay, in the Japanese version, he makes a cameo in the opening credits.
Oh,
okay. As someone Jimmy battles, but that's it.
I mean, I don't know. This whole story and plot would have had to be different. Like, the Team Rocket involvement, maybe he could have, like, been there, but...
He could have been cursing Giovanni's name or whatever.
Yeah. Overall, it was kind of a generic little side story. But anyway, please continue.
Okay. I was hoping Diego would come back, but I guess not.
You're doing part one, man. Just okay, all right. Lean into
it. So Jimmy beats his Hitmonlee kid. Meanwhile, we meet, speaking of Team Rocket, our villains for the special, who have a lot of high-tech machinery. They don't subscribe to Popular Pokemon Magazine. They have, like, the good stuff, it seems.
They're funded directly by Team Rocket.
So they arrive at some sort of canyon base, and they meet a scientist who... Apparently, his name is Professor Sebastian, but I don't think they said his name.
I had to look it up because I was like, Gendo? Is that you?
Gendo Akari is here.
He kind of looks like him, doesn't he? A little bit.
No, not really. He has different hair.
Well, he's got that, like, I'm an evil scientist kind of vibe.
Oh, okay. That's about it.
Him and his crystals.
Yes. We're going to see him later, actually.
Maybe his wife was in the crystal. Like, Gendo's wife was in the Ava.
It is purple.
It is purple. My God. The connections are undeniable.
This crystal gets a lot of screen time. First, we have Professor Sebastian explain to Attila and Hun about this crystal and all of its capabilities. Go.
Okay. I understand what they were trying to do here, you know, because they have Butch and Cassidy. They have Jesse James, you know, that kind of thing. Those are both outlaws. Attila the Hun is kind of a questionable, like, naming Team Rocket figures after
that's
them.
Not quite like a Wild West outlaw.
No, that's not. I'm like, surely there was like other Wild West outlaws we could have used here, like
who could we think of?
Let's see.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Wild West outlaws. Five legendary Wild West outlaws, according to history.com. Okay, let's see. We've got Jesse James, which, okay, perfect. There was Billy the Kid. So they could have Billy and Kid. Let's see. There's Belle Starr.
I never heard of Belle Starr.
I haven't either. But they were legendary, apparently. Butch Cassidy. Okay, we got that one.
Check.
John Wesley Harden. So we could add John and Wesley. I don't know.
Okay, I can see why they had to leave the Wild West theme.
I mean, there were others I feel like they could have used according to that list. But Attila the Hun, I guess?
No, Attila the Hun was the wrong choice to make.
I just, every time somebody said Hun, like, it just sounds like the diminutive of honey.
It sounded like he was flirting with Hun.
Yeah, like every time he'd be like, hey, Hun. Okay, can we talk about a little bit about Hun for just a second?
Attila and Hun are here. Hun apparently is a veteran of Team Rocket, and Attila is Hun's new partner.
What is...
But Hun...
What's happened... Yeah.
Hun has some pronoun questions going on.
My first question is, whatever happened to their other partners?
Who knows?
They died? Like, question mark, question mark, question mark. Whatever. But I had to look this up because there's a couple points in which the characters refer to as, like, those men or those guys.
The script refers to Hun as a male character.
Yes, but depending on what version you're listening to, the edits in the dub, it's a very clear female voice.
Bulletpedia said it was Veronica Taylor.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it kind of does sound familiar. Okay, according to the Bulletpedia article on Hun, it says, Hun is male in the original Japanese version. However, according to a Maddie Blaustein Q&A, due to a mistranslation in the script, Hun's gender is changed to female in the English dub. Despite that, Hun is never directly mentioned in dialogue as either male or female. Only the pronouns referring to Hun are those used collectively with Attila, such as those men or those guys, like I said.
Okay.
So that is the background there.
So I'm going to refer to Hun as they.
Okay.
We simply do not know.
We do not know.
That's for Hun to tell us, and Hun neglects to do so.
Hun has other stuff on their mind as far as, like, the crystal is concerned.
We're all fascinated with this crystal, and it's, like, electricity-absorbing powers. The crystal seems to do anything and everything, depending on what they want it to do in that moment.
It's the MacGuffin for this episode, so...
Apparently, its main function is it draws in electricity, and all the electric Pokemon need to see it. But when they zap, the crystal draws in their attacks, and it creates some sort of, like, force field containment zone. And the main goal is to get Raikou.
They don't really explain. I mean, they kind of just have this opening sequence where Professor Sebastian there, Dr. Sebastian, I don't know, is like, behold the crystal. And they call it the miracle crystal for a couple of scenes, but then they switch later to calling it something else. But is this like a Team Rocket creation? Like, what is the origin of this crystal?
I assume they created it.
Team Rocket's miracle crystal, I guess. Okay.
This is the kind of shit Team Rocket does. The real Team Rocket does.
The real Team Rocket.
What do we think of their gray uniforms, by the way?
I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
It kind of seems like they're part of, like, a different subsection.
That's a good question. I would really love to know, like, the internal, like, breakdown of the organization. Like, can we get an organizational chart for Team Rocket? Like, I would love that. They kind of seem to operate on their own accord. I guess their goal is capture Raikou.
Like, we had Dr. Namba, and he was trying to get Lugia. And I guess Professor Sebastian is trying to get Raikou.
Is this Operation Great Big Raikou?
Yes, it is.
Because we had Operation Great Big Lugia.
It's Operation Miracle Crystal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which involves all of two field agents using the crystal and basically just standing around.
Can I just make one last comment on this, and then we can move on?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, based on Hun's design, like purely aesthetic design, that we would have some kind of involvement with Latias or Latios. Oh. Well, the hair kind of looks like that, doesn't it?
Well, I guess Latios and Latias are being designed right at this moment.
That's what I'm saying, because you know how we do when we get, like, close to a new generation, we always kind of get, like, some tie-overs or, like, hints before. So I wasn't really sure, like, as far as timeline in the real world at this particular moment was going. I was like, is there some buzz around Hoenn?
They would have started advertising the Latios and Latias movie around this time.
There you go. So that's why I was like curious that we didn't get any kind of like mention or connection or something to that, but oh well.
I think Kintsugi Mori just likes spiky hair. See, yeah. Also Jimmy.
See also Marina.
Yeah, well, speaking of Jimmy and Marina, Jimmy is at the Pokemon Center somewhere. And while he and Typhlosion are hanging out and he's brushing his Typhlosion, he overhears Marina and her, like, older woman voice. Because she does not sound like a child.
No.
Even more so than usual. It's very Lily from Sun and Moon vibes.
Oh, God.
Because she sounds like an adult-ass woman.
Lily sounds like a mature woman going, "Hi, guys, I'm Lily, and I'm totally not, like, you know, a 40-year-old woman."
What would you say Marina sounds like, then?
I mean, she's got a little bit more of the bubbly voice instead of that, like, super high, wispy voice like this, like Lily had.
I know, she has, like, a GTG, sweetie pie.
Oh, yeah, why was she talking in, like, shorthand?
I guess it's the early 2000s, and we're like, that's really trendy and cool.
That is true. I guess she's a product of her time.
So, she's a product of her time. Jimmy sees her talking on the what do you call those things? I guess the video phones.
The video
computer. The green video phones to Vincent, our OC. They all left New Barktown at the same time. They were a group of three trainers, and they each got one of the starters from Professor Elm. She got the Totodile, and she's talking to the Chikorita boy, and they keep in touch all the time. But Marina does not have Jimmy's number. So Marina goes to hang up on Vincent because she's got to catch up with Jimmy. But Vincent is like, "Hold on, Jimmy, come here. Get closer to the video phone so Marina can't hear us."
Yeah, that's like an open conversation. That thing is like blasting across the whole Pokemon Center. You can hear everything.
So Vincent's like, "Marina's my girlfriend, or she will be one day. So you can't have her." And Jimmy's like,
DeLulu thinking.
Okay, bye. Marina hangs up on him. And now Jimmy and Marina. Jimmy and Marine Biology have a long conversation about their relationship.
Okay. What do we think about Marina?
What do you think about Marina?
Okay, look, I'm not here to shame anyone. I'm like, you do you, girlfriend. I think she's very forward in her personality. I think that there's a little bit of sexual harassment potentially going on here.
She's very forward.
She's very forward. She's like, let me refer to my notes here. She tells Jimmy that she's missed him terribly, and she starts modeling her body to him, and she's like, yes. Notice anything different?
She like gestures to her to boobs and hips.
I know, and he's like, whoa. Of course he's like, not really. But the whole time it's very visual because they're he's blushing, she's like blushing, everybody's blushing. He doesn't want to admit that she has matured physically.
A womanly body and
she's
voice.
Got a womanly body. I'm assuming this group, Vincent, Marina, and Jimmy, they're older, 14, 15 or something. So they're a little bit more mature in that sense, obviously. Marina is like the OG coordinator girl. And so she's very much like a personality of like, I want to be a star.
I thought she was kind of annoying, to be honest.
She's a little annoying.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I don't want to shame people for being like confident in themselves. But she was doing a lot of come-ons to Jimmy. And she was pretty like in people's personal space throughout this whole thing. Which I was like, girl, that's not okay. We got to respect people's boundaries.
There was one part specifically that I thought was super annoying, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
They talk about their relationship for a while, and then Jimmy's like, I don't want to talk about this. I'm a boy. So they transition to Pokemon training, and she establishes that her goal is, like we said, to be like an idol through her use of Pokemon. Too bad she hasn't discovered contests yet, but she will.
Ooh, okay. Foreshadowing.
Jimmy has the goal of battling for the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That they grew up in. What? I didn't understand that at all.
He just said, I had to go back and watch it like once or twice because I was like, what did you say? And Jimmy's like, I just want to help local kids. I'm like, okay, so does that mean he wants to be like a big brother type figure, like a mentor to the local youth? Like maybe that is kind of his thing. I'm like, okay, that's kind of admirable.
Sure.
Sure.
I kind of get the vibe that he's just going along for the ride. He doesn't really have any big goals.
You know what? I feel like Jimmy, you're way too over-designed to be a background character. Like, you gotta have bigger goals based on your aesthetic design. Like, come on, step it up.
I kind of think he's like Sakura. And I think the vast majority of children in this world, they're just like, I'm legally allowed to wander by myself for an indeterminate amount of time. Let's do it and see if I mature as a person while doing
so. Wait, are you talking about... Oh, okay. I had to do a double take for 1 second. I was like, Sakura...
The kimono
from
girl.
Naruto?
Okay, no, sorry. Sasuke. almost said from Sasuke.
Sasuke.
From her Espeon thing.
Sakura, at the Critique Espeon City. Girl. Yeah. Okay. The Pokemon character, not the Naruto girl.
I mean, don't you think that's what most people would do? Is it like, it's kind of like a ritual.
I guess so. I mean, you go, you try your hand at being a trainer, you do the battle thing, you go back home, sure.
When you get bored of it, or it's like, you're done.
Sure.
Alright, so Jimmy does not really do much of anything, but he is a battler, and so Jimmy and Rina are going to have a battle.
Wait, oh my god, Austin, we didn't talk about Fabulance.
Okay, talk about Fabulance.
I mean, there's not really much to say about Fabulance, sadly, but Marina is a big fan.
She has a notebook full of Lance stickers and cutouts.
Yeah, when we say Lance, we mean Dragon Trainer Lance.
Making his anime debut, kind of.
Is Fabulance, like, that's gotta be, like, a fan name, right? Like, all the girls, like, the young...
I know I call him Fabulance.
Like, this is kind of, like, giving me Tiger Beat or, like, Teen Beat vibes or something, where it's, like, in those little, like... preteen girl magazines would be like Fabulance, because surely he doesn't call himself Fabulance.
Can you imagine if Lance came up and he was like, it's me, Fabulance?
I could actually imagine that. Yeah, she's got the crush, as like in the same vein of like Orlando Bloom in 2003 or something. Like, that's the energy that I got. But yeah, she keeps a whole Trapper Keeper with Lance stickers, and that's as much as we get to see about Fabulance
for sadly. Now
For now.
Interesting note. Oh, she also really likes that he has a cape. She's really big on the capes.
Oh, we'll see that.
All right, so now it's time for a practice battle outside the Pokemon Center. Marina has her Jigglypuff named Pink, and Jimmy is going to send out his Beedrill.
Wasn't it Little Pink?
Oh, was it Little Pink?
Little Pink.
Oh, I was going to go with Pink like the singer.
Oh, okay.
Little Pink does her little song, her Jigglypuff song. But Beedrill's sonic vibrations from its wings are too fast for the song to affect it. So Jigglypuff blows up like a balloon to avoid Beedrill's poison sting. Oh, and then we get the really annoying part that I did not care for at all. When Marina's like, that's what we do. We do our dance lessons. Which is like fair. Okay, you use dance as methodology for training. That's like, you know, the football player in ballet class kind of trope.
Sure.
Cool. But then she goes... Hey, I know. We need to get some rap music, and we need to get some lights, and we can make, like, a whole new music video, and get some background dancers, and it's gonna be called Jigglypuff's Jam, or Victory Vogue. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is going on? We're gonna get to have a rap music video happening all of a sudden here.
Okay, I kind of empathize with her, because just try to remember back to when you were a kid, and I'm sure some of the stuff you said and did probably was, like, really annoying, you know, when kids get focused on stuff. But maybe it's just, like, the fact that she's a teenage girl, and I can kind of understand where she's coming from a little bit. Like, she gets into her, like, I want to be a star, and she... That's all she's focused on, so she's not, like, focused on being annoying.
I think it's like, specifically that she suddenly is like, yeah, I'm a rapper now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because she's very much, like, teen idol-y, like, J-pop yeah. kind of stuff aesthetic. And then all of a sudden, I'm imagining, like Ludacris is here or something.
Luda.
Yeah, Luda's here or something. I don't know. Who would be big in the early 2000s? Any number of folks.
Snoop Dogg.
Eminem and Snoop Dogg come into the game. And she's like, it's my old friends. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Snoop Slim Shady.
She's got a vision, I'll just say that.
Okay. So Jigglypuff's amazing rap music video dance performance doesn't last for too long, because Beedrill pops it like a balloon and sends it flying. It did.
I know, but still, gross.
So Jigglypuff loses, and now it's time... for Wani Wani the Croconaw versus Typhlosion.
Wani Wani.
Yeah.
Can we, like, know more about that?
I don't know. What's more to know?
What is, like, up with her naming? Like, she's got Little Miss, the mischievous. Okay, sure.
Which is, like, her main one somehow.
Somehow. Little Pink. And then Wani Wani the Croconaw.
Okay, Totodile's Japanese name is Wani Noko.
Okay, so that makes more sense.
But yeah.
Wani Wani.
But we don't actually get to see Croconaw, aka Wani Wani, do much of anything, because immediately their battle is interrupted by a mysterious storm cloud on the horizon that's swirling around, and it's purple. And all the Pokemon are like, we gotta go see it. And there's, like, lightning strikes, and they recall all their Pokemon, except for Little Miss, the mischievous, who's a slippery little devil.
Mischievous.
Little Miss gets over to where the storm cloud is, where we find Attila and Hun, and they are using the crystal in an open field, and all these electrolyte Pokemon are there. Attila is using his teenage experience as a wrangler on his like uncle's farm or something to gather up all these Pokemon like a crane game. That doesn't really go anywhere because the main prize is the Raikou that's coming in. So Raikou comes in until eventually Raikou gets captured in the purple sphere of energy. I think they call it a containment bubble.
Sure, they say a lot of things.
Right, and then Jimmy emerges from the bushes, and he's like, go Typhlosion! So Attila and Hun send out their Steelix and Skarmory that we're going to see 30,000 times through this special. And my notes say this is the end of part one.
It kind of all flows. I mean, it's one thing. It flows together. There's not a really good spot like in between these parts to like cut it. It's not like a definitive ending or whatever. The version you watched, did it have like breaks?
No.
How did that work? Okay. Because the version I watched was just 1 hour straight through and it was just a continuous thing. Okay. So I guess this is where part two. If you want to.
Part two.
Particular. Yeah, part two picks right up off of. This, I will say, just in my own humble opinion, there was a lot of battling and stuff happening and a lot of drawn out sequences, so it's kind of hard to like describe this. There was actually a few parts where I like clicked away and let it run in the background because they just stood around like doing nothings.
It's a lot of standing around and shouting and yeah, like, I feel like the same animation kept looping over and over again.
it did. I'm like, they were very much trying to fill a 60-minute slot, and they were like, how do we do that? Let's just...
And yet there's still scenes that were cut from the dub.
Still?
Yeah.
God, okay. Raikou's appeared because it's attracted to the mystery crystal or whatever. It attempts to attack and try to save the other Pokemon, but the mystery or miracle crystal or whatever the hell they call it is wired to attract all the like attacks. So it gets pulled into the crystal and then sent back with like... Did they say it was like double the power or just its own power?
I don't remember. I completely zoned out during all these wilderness crystal sequences.
Wilderness scenes.
Which is 90% of the thing.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do my best. Raikou knocks itself out, obviously, and it's vulnerable. Jimmy confronts Team Rocket with his Typhlosion, but is easily defeated. There's a Steelix and a Skarmory, like Austin said, and Sandstorm is enough to like put Typhlosion out of commission, which... Fair enough, I guess. Marina, thank God for her, because they would have been screwed without Mischievous. She says, okay, Mischievous, sacrifice yourself now with Parish Song.
Which is not how Parish Song works.
Yeah, I had to look up how Parish Song works in the games. It said something like, and I could be completely wrong because I didn't like watch a video of how this works. It says it puts out a parish count on all Pokemon in the field. I'm assuming that means the user as well.
Right.
All Pokemon faint within four turns or something like that.
The way it was depicted here was that it was like a debilitating effect on the Team Rocket Pokemon. Mischievous was like losing HP as it was doing it. Right? Sure. That's kind of how it looked to me.
Yeah. Mischievous is physically struggling. Marina's like imploring it to like hang in there. And she's like, I know this hurts you, but keep on. Steelix and Skarmory are like flailing around on the ground covered in like these dark vine looking things. I don't know. Team Rocket leaves, I guess. This is too much for them to handle. And Raikou is still there. They don't capture Raikou.
Why did they leave? I didn't understand that.
I do not know.
It's a 60-minute special. That's why. Got it.
Scene cut to the Pokemon Center, which I had questions on how they dragged Raikou to the Pokemon Center.
I didn't even think about that. I just like, yeah, whatever. It's there now.
Yeah, they got it to the Pokemon Center. They put it in a little glass cage.
I wonder how much it weighs. Probably 70 pounds.
I looked it up. It weighs 350 pounds.
Okay, that is not possible for them to drag that thing for miles.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. It's understandably really upset because now it's hooked up to a bunch of wires and tubes inside the Pokemon Center. And Nurse Joy is like... It's okay, Raikou. You don't have to be worried. And I'm like, it's a wild animal. Of course it's going to be worried.
It's a goddamn tiger.
I know. It's a goddamn giant cat. While they're, like, trying to calm it down, a crowd somehow is formed. Like, this is the Raikou fan club.
Okay, admittedly, they probably just dragged that 350-pound tiger through the lobby.
That's true. People saw it. And they were like,
yeah, oh, I think that would cause a scene. That would be like, whoa.
A ruckus. Yeah, maybe that's the reason. The word's out. I thought that would be of more consequence. It's not. But it does attract the attention of our favorite caped crusader there, Eugene / Eucene.
Okay. Did they change it from Eugene from Eucene on purpose?
Why would they change it?
It's too close to Eucene.
But why would they, like, what's the reasoning behind changing it?
I don't know. There is a connection there, I guarantee you. I just don't know. Were they like, Eucene is weird. His name is Eugene now.
Does it say anything?
Or did someone say that character's name is Eucene and someone else was like, okay, Eugene, and like they just misheard?
Okay, I don't know. It says, by the time this special aired in the dub, Eugene and Vincent had already been seen before in For Ho-Oh the Bell Tolls and Love Pokemon Style, respectively.
Right, I forgot Vincent also has a different name.
In the episodes in question, they were named Eucene and Jackson.
But Eucene is a game character. It's so rare that they fucked that up.
I have no idea. I'm looking at the dub edits section to see if it says something about that. There's too much to talk about. Okay, I don't know why.
I don't care what Bulbapedia has to say. I'm asking you. What do you think?
Maybe they thought Eucene was a weird name.
That's what I thought.
I mean, it is a nonsense name.
It's a non-name.
Yeah, Eugene is an actual male name. I thought maybe this was like his evil twin or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No. Eugene.
Eugene, his evil
twin. He should have like one of those little Star Trek beards.
Little goatees to denote his evilness. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was asking you if the other one had diamonds on his shirt, because I was like, this one didn't. So
you thought there was like a body double running around?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the crystals are only in Heart Gold.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, you're right. I think that was just a game design thing. Anyway, so this is Eugene. Maybe his name, maybe he has both names. Maybe he's Eucene Eugene.
Like Mario Mario.
Yeah, maybe. But he's the ultimate fanboy, and he's like, move out of the goddamn way, children. And so he, like, elbows them out of the way.
Very in keeping with his previous appearance, by the way.
Did he elbow them out of the way?
He basically, like, slugged Ash in the face and said, you're a liar.
Oh my god, I'm so sad I missed that.
We didn't get into it very much because I was rushing through that episode. But essentially, he was like, you are dragging Suicune's name through the mud, and you are an abomination. How dare you take the name of Suicune in vain? I've raised my Alakazam specifically to destroy Suicune blasphemers, and Suicune's reputation is on the line, you bastard child. Like, he was, like, out of control.
Well, that's a far cry from the Eugene we get in this, because I felt like he really didn't do a whole lot of anything, spoiler alert.
I mean, he did burst through there and was like, let me see the Raikou!
I know, he's like, let me see, yeah.
Raikou, where's Suicune?
To be honest with you, like, I mean, I guess he aesthetically fits Suicune more. I'm not sure why he's not blue, but, like, whatever. Raikou has a purple cloudy thing on its back, so he kind of matches.
What do you think of Raikou? We haven't even discussed Raikou. What do we think of Raikou?
Like, design-wise?
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, it's...
Okay.
It's
It has a cape.
It does. It has a cape. It's got a cloud cape. I would say... Oh, boy. Now I feel like I'm being put on the spot. Aesthetically, my favorite is Suicune.
Yes.
I think Raikou's second and Entei's the third.
I would put Raikou last.
But
that's probably because Entei has a good movie.
It does. It had a lot more focus, and the movie was really good. It's one of our favorites. Raikou only gets this little TV special.
Raikou gets this pity bone thrown his way.
Poor thing. It's okay. I mean, so Eugene is there. He elbows the kids out of the way. Marina, again, has some serious problems with personal boundaries and starts, like, rubbing herself all over Eugene. And Eugene's like, young lady, this is highly
inappropriate. I don't recall that.
You don't?
She rubbed herself on him?
Well, she was, like, surrounding him, like, touching his clothes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I was exaggerating for effect.
Okay, I don't understand hyperbole. You have to be literal at all times.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
At all times in your life?
At all times in my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
No hyperbole here, ever.
So sorry. This is where I was super confused, because as I watched further, I thought that these characters would have some kind of role after their short appearance here, but they don't. They never come back again in any capacity. Eugene is also accompanied by Kudo, the archaeologist, and Officer Jenny, and they do nothing at all.
Why is Kudo the archaeologist here?
I hoped that you would be able to answer that question.
Who the fuck is Kudo?
I don't know.
Kudos to you, Kudo, for making an appearance, I guess.
I thought there would be some kind of plot or some kind of background to why Kudo, the archaeologist, and Eugene were here with his Officer Jenny escort.
Kudo's here to offer no insight and really just be a waste of space.
Folks, you literally are not going to get any answers from us, because they don't appear again after this. They have zero consequence. I don't even know why they were there. Jimmy seems to think that he's like the Raikou Whisperer, and that he has a special bond with Raikou, but he doesn't. Spoiler alert.
He has big main character syndrome.
Yeah, he does. He thinks he's got, like, you know what it gave me? It gave me, like, I'm a Disney princess, and I'm going to, like, approach this, like, bear or moose or something, and it's not going to hurt me because I'm special and I'm filming it. And then they get, like, mauled to death.
Play stupid games.
Yeah.
Win stupid Raikou.
This is a wild animal. It's not your friend. And Raikou's like, fuck all y'all, and busts out. And Eugene just stands there, and they all just stand there. I'm trying to make sure I don't go into part three by accident.
I mean, I don't think Jacob's here anymore. I think he's left.
Okay.
Jacob, where are you?
Jacob is gone. All right, I'm not gonna worry about that. We'll just, when Jacob comes back, he can take over. Also, I think part two ends with,
part two ends with the Raikou leaving.
Okay, so I'll keep going. Okay, so.
Unfortunately, Kudo did not take up an entire episode.
No, he didn't. So we leave Kudo and Officer Jenny.
I will say Officer Jenny kind of makes sense because they said there was a Team Rocket assault.
She doesn't follow them.
She doesn't go with them. It's Officer Jenny. There are already random children on the case.
That's true.
Usually she would accompany the twerps, but I guess in this case she couldn't even be bothered.
No.
She and Kudo are up to some freaky shit at the Pokemon Center. I don't know.
They got something going on. I'm not really sure. So Raikou busts out and Marina and Jimmy follow it because it's drawn to the crystal again. Because I guess Team Rocket has fixed their equipment. So they're back doing this electrical lightning rod radar thing that they're calling all the Pokemon to it. Jimmy and Marina confront Team Rocket while Eugene just stands there uselessly. And they nearly get killed by a rock throw, but Fabuveni comes and saves their life. He pretends he's Fabulance and Marina.
Who?
Vincent.
Fabuveni.
Fabuveni. She thinks it's Lance at first glance, but... Oh, Lance at first glance. I didn't mean to rhyme that, but I did. It's not. It's Fabuveni. He's there. He saves their life. We get an error where Hun is like, LOL, your Meganium Solar Beam doesn't affect Steelix at all. Even though it's a ground type.
Would it be regular damage because steel?
Yes.
Okay.
But it does zero damage because of an error.
Okay.
So sadly, wanting to call him Jimmy? Vincent is ineffectual. Team Rocket manages to capture the Raikou, but also manages to grab Marina alongside of it because she didn't get killed when a 350-pound tiger got dropped on her. But they grab her up too and put her in the transport Star Wars looking thing that they fly away on.
They're going through so much equipment. I can't imagine the Team Rocket budget is doing very well. Their shit gets destroyed constantly through this thing.
They seemingly have an endless supply of stuff. So, question mark. They get put into the cargo plane. Marina manages to open up a control panel and, like, pull apart some wires, which overrides the door.
No, it's crazier than that.
Okay.
Raikou's, like, thrashing all around in that cargo hold. And, like, Marina has to, like, dodge for her life several times. Yeah, it, like, rips paneling out of the floor. Oh. And she's like, oh, look, wires. And she takes her bare hands and starts, like, pulling wires apart.
Oh, okay. I missed that part because it was one of the parts I clicked away.
Okay, it was pretty wild.
All right, I'll believe you. So she almost gets killed, but by the grace of, you know, whatever, she doesn't. Then she's, like, having a self-sacrifice moment where she's like, go, Raikou, save yourself. I'll be fine here. And they share a moment where Raikou's like, okay, crazy little girl, I'll jump from, like, 500 feet up in the air. I'm surprised it didn't, like, grab her onto its back and, like, jump down.
That's what I wrote. The Raikou was in such a state of shock that this girl was helping her that, like, it, like, froze up and did not know what to do. Its mouth was agape.
I know. It was, like, whole.
It was shook to its core.
I thought that this was how, like, because we have seen that Pokemon are intelligent, clearly. This is a legendary Pokemon. Sadly, I guess it doesn't really have any more brain power than your average house cat, though, because it doesn't think to just grab her and throw it on its back and jump down.
I mean, the clock was ticking, but I was like, okay, you have time. Get on its back and go.
Yeah, like, why didn't she just grab its, like, purple, like, collar and then just, like, say, go, Raikou, jump! Jump us to safety! I don't know. That didn't happen.
Raikou was emotionally devastated at the moment. It was so bewildered. It couldn't even think.
It's like, I guess I have to leave you now. How is it gonna do a heroic rescue if he saved her at that moment? He has to come back for her. Yeah, so it jumps out of the cargo plane and leaves Marina behind to a questionable fate.
end part two. All right, who wants to do part three? You
We're
or me?
Back to part three, and Jacob is somewhere.
Who's doing part three? You or me?
Well, there's not much. I'll just finish it up if that's okay with you.
We're in the third act, which is really boring.
We'll both just talk about it. We've kind of been doing that the whole time. Okay, so Marina is... I can't remember how they get the doors back open, to be honest with you, on the plane. Marina starts to fall to her death somehow. What? Out of the plane.
This did not happen.
Didn't she fall? They, like, throw her out.
That did not happen. They bound and gag her.
No, when did she fall to her death? Almost.
Way later. Okay, I'm doing part three. Okay, so...
Okay, my notes literally...
Alex is making up her own version now. It's just like, whatever.
Oh, wait. Oh, I know what happened. I'm sorry. I skipped down to the next page. I didn't mean to. I was wrong. So I forgot the whole part. I apologize. Let me rewind. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Okay, so Raikou jumps away, leaves Marina there. They try to call her on the pokey gear because they're like, hey, let's see where Marina's at and we can GPS track her. But Attila crushes the pokey gear with his bare hands, like, damn.
This was scary.
He, like,
this
grabs
her. This big man towering over her.
So they land the plane, just to be clear to everyone. They land the plane, and they confront her.
He takes the pokey gear out of her hand, shoves Marina to the ground.
Yes.
Grabs Little Miss out of the air in a chokehold until she smartly recalls it in her boogie ball.
How does he grab a ghost, question mark?
Vincent is yelling at him at the phone. Attila calls him a sissy boy, which I was shocked by.
He says some other questionable stuff later, too.
Yeah, okay, then he takes the pokey gear, which I assume is like a Nokia phone, and crushes it with its bare hands.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, this is like the right... He's like towering over that girl the whole time. I'm like, this is really
scary.
Freaky.
Yeah, this is pretty scary. That was intimidating for sure. Thankfully, Eugene/Eugene is a technological genius, and he figures out how to GPS track her. Oh, we GPS track Jacob. Oh my god, there he is.
Speaking of technological genius, look who's here.
Jacob. He's got to figure out how to unmute himself, the technological genius that he is. Oh, he's...
Jacob, at least turn on your thing and say goodbye.
Bye.
No, bye.
Jacob, he's leaving.
All right, send me the file when you can.
He didn't.
He's off to daddy duty. Bye. Speaking of daddy duty, Eugene's on daddy duty. He's off to rescue Marina. This is where... Whose car they take? I'm not sure.
It's Suicune's sports car that he owns?
Yeah.
Or sorry, not Suicune. Eugene's sports car that he owns.
Was it a sports car? I guess I missed that.
I assumed it was supposed to be.
Okay. He takes his sports car.
It's a very low detail car.
Okay. It's a box with wheels. I don't know.
Basically.
So they drive to try to find Marina. This is where I put she's falling to her death. So I don't know, like, when that happens. Where does she
fall?
Okay,
I'll take care of it. Okay, that does not happen for quite some time. Because they approach the purple swirling clouds again in the sports car. Eugene realizes that Raikou must have escaped, because then why else would they be using the purple swirling clouds? Now Marina is tied up. While they're standing there, Raikou is long distance attacking the crystal from so far away that the electricity doesn't bounce back to Raikou. It bounces back and hits everyone else that's on the scene.
Thanks, Raikou.
It's in this chaos that Marina falls.
Okay, thank you. She does fall because I remember her falling onto Vincent and breaking his back. And apparently this is where Jimmy and her, like, fall in love or something.
On Vincent's back.
On Vincent's back, yes. She's like, oh, Jimmy. And he's like, oh, Marina. And Vincent's like, excuse me.
This friend group has a weird dynamic. I'm not sure I like it.
So it's a very strange dynamic, that's for sure.
I would not want to watch an entire show of these three.
You know, for all the shit we give, like, Ash, Brock, and Misty, they're tolerable as a main cast.
Ew, thank God Ash, Misty, and Brock don't have a love triangle.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
That's... No.
Gross.
They tried. Initially, they had a little Misty Ash thing going on, but I think they quickly realized that ain't gonna work.
They dug in their heels before they gave up on that, though.
That is true. They tried. It floundered for a while, but then I think they were like, yeah, we gotta move on. Raikou ends up back in the chaos. It, like, gets closer or something for some reason.
Well, that's a big point of speculation. Is why did Raikou get back in closer?
Yeah.
When it was doing so well from far away.
Because it's a cat at the end of the day.
Oh, because it's a stupid
animal.
Cat.
Yeah. It destroys the mechanism. Okay, this is where I really kind of, like, tapped out, just to be, like, full disclosure. Like, this is where it, like, dragged on. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it went on for too long.
Yeah.
It destroys the, like, the interface that Attila was using to control the crystal. I guess he, like, typed in the command, do crystal stuff. But Raikou destroyed his keyboard, so he can't do that anymore. Team Rocket's just standing there posing for a while. And Eugene's like, well, they're still here, so clearly something's going on. It turns out the crystal now is an auto-destruct mode, which means it turns black.
Sure.
And the symbolism of that means that now it's more powerful than ever.
It went from the miracle crystal to being the black crystal.
Right.
Sure.
Do you want to watch the black crystal?
Sure.
Or the dark crystal, rather?
Yeah, that's exactly okay. What I want to do.
Oh, do you not like that movie?
It's a Jim Henson thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. I think I've only seen, like, a little bit of it, actually. I don't know if I've ever watched, like, the whole thing. Wasn't there, like, a sequel recently or something like that? Or a remake?
Yeah, there was. It was on Netflix. This is how interesting this Legend of Thunder part is. Okay, yeah. So Raikou gets trapped again in the orb, the sphere of evil. And Eugene is like, we can't attack the crystal because the crystal will blow up and kill us all. And Jimmy's like, well, we're going to attack anyway. And Eugene's like, okay, but you're going to be fast because you have to destroy the crystal, grab Raikou, and go.
Oh my god, what was this logic where he's like, okay, it's a 50-50 chance. Either you go all in and we're all completely fine, or we all die. Good luck.
Eugene, do you think he's on coke? Because that really felt like coke logic to me.
I kind of like the whole, he kind of breaks the fourth wall in a sense during this part, because this, like we said, it drags on way, way, way too long. So this is the part where Eugene remembers that he actually, like, exists, or he comes out of his, like, coke-fueled haze or something, and he's like, I've been on the sidelines for too long. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, the adult in the room actually, like, steps up and does something. Calls up Alakazam. I can't remember what Alakazam actually, like, does.
Alakazam and Little Miss distract the Steelix for at least a little while Typhlosion and Meganium attack the, like, force field of doom.
Okay.
Attila actually says that they're on a suicide mission.
Oh, yeah, that's the crazy thing that I wanted to say that he said. I was like, whoa.
I was like, I can't believe they can say that.
It's because it's a special. I don't know. They can say more stuff.
In the U.S., this is airing on cable, not on network TV, so that might be a difference.
That was pretty intense.
Okay, Attila stands on a muck. Jimmy has this ridiculous scene with Steelix where he lures it out to a cliff overlooking water, insults it, and then it attacks him. And Beedrill grabs Jimmy and flies away. So Steelix drowns and presumably dies.
Yeah.
But then 2 seconds later, it pops out of the ground again. So that was for naught.
Too bad.
Okay, Steelix is trying to kill the kids now. And then Raikou is watching in horror. But then somehow, Raikou kind of defies all the rules and logic of the special. And attacks Steelix while within the crystal sphere. And somehow, this causes a series of events where the crystal is destroyed. Attila and Hun escape, never to be seen again. The kids all celebrate, and then the crystal explodes, killing everyone on the scene. Just kidding, the crystal explodes and nothing bad happens.
So all that was for nothing?
It was just a waste of time. Like, literally, they ran out of time, and they're like, and now it's done.
Yeah, and then Raikou, like, fucks off, and he's like, alright, bye.
You know what you didn't mention?
What?
Was all their talk about how Raikou's their special friend, and that's the reason why Raikou came to save them, is because it loves these people now. Even though it historically has been abused and attacked by people. It loved these people, though.
Because they changed it, Austin. They changed it. It forgot all of its past trauma because of some three kids with bad hair.
Well, Raikou has bad hair, so it makes sense.
Do you like how it has little, like, swirly butt hair, too?
It has swirly butt hair?
It's got little...
Is that our episode title? Swirly butt hair?
It does. It has little, like,
where's
cuffs.
The swirly butt hair?
It has.
You mean its cuffs. Mane?
No, on its butt.
Where is its butt?
Raikou. I gotta look up
it. I googled Raikou. I don't see butt.
It had butt hair when it was jumping away from Marina.
Oh, okay.
It's got a little swirly butt hair.
Okay, I'm gonna google Raikou butt hair.
Raikou butt hair. It does.
I'm not getting any hind shots. I'm just getting...
Here's a hind shot. Let me give you one.
How'd you get a hind shot?
I don't know, but I did. It's got a little swirly.
Oh, it does have swirly butt hair.
Told ya. Don't doubt Raikou, me.
Things I never knew about you.
I don't know where this is from, but there's, like, it says Raikou, like, in parentheses, generations, and there's, like, a dead person's hand, like, next to it, so I'm not...
I think they're emerging from the burn tower.
Oh, okay. I need to watch Generations again.
It's just shorts.
Is that the one with Charmander screaming?
No, it's Origins.
Oh, okay.
But we're focused on Chronicles now.
I've lost track of everything, Austin. There's
so many of them. I can't keep track.
All right, anyway, Raikou's gone forever.
All right, yep, Raikou does not get a movie. Oh, it makes a movie appearance, but not here.
This was its movie. Three episodes. It's a
shitty movie.
Sure.
And the day is saved, and the dub cuts out an entire epilogue portion.
Ooh, okay, because I didn't see that part.
Okay, I watched it on YouTube. There was like 3 pixels entirely on this video that was uploaded on YouTube. From where it picks up, Kudo comes back.
Oh, so he does have a role.
Yeah, Kudo and Eugene say goodbye to the three kids, and they wander off. They find a fork in the road that leads in 3 directions, and they all randomly decide a different direction to walk in. So they clearly don't have any goals. They're just like, I'll go this way, you go that way, I'll go this way. Okay, bye, everyone. And they all leave. Marina lingers for a moment to sigh wistfully over her love for Jimmy.
Mm.
And then we cut back after the credits. Jimmy's walking along, and Marina calls him on his Poke Gear and says, Vincent gave me your number. Now we can talk all the time. So the other day, Wani Wani, blah, blah, blah. And Jimmy celebrates, like, yeah! Like, he has a fist pump because the girl is calling him.
That was... I'm so glad we got that. Follow-up to that. You want to know a fun fact?
What?
Professor Sebastian was voiced by Eric Stewart.
Is he also voiced by Eric Stewart in the main show?
Wait, does he come back?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's in Pokemon, the series Ruby and Sapphire.
He is?
I guess.
Ben.
Okay, wait. All right, okay. According to Bulbapedia, Professor Sebastian appears in The Legend of Thunder, and then he also appears in Talking About an Evolution.
That's the Red Gyarados.
Wait, did we already see that happen?
No.
We haven't seen that happen. Oh, wait, no, because we haven't gotten to Mahogany Town yet. Okay, so he appears later. Sure.
When does he appear in I know when he appears in Ruby and Sapphire. Got it.
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay, we'll get there in the 9th movie.
spoiler alert, it's Pokemon Ranger in the Temple of the Sea.
Yeah, he, Attila, and Hun make a cameo. Sure. That's it.
So wait,
that just hit me all of a sudden. Got it.
So wait, what is it? You said Kudo came back? What did he do?
He waved goodbye.
All right, what about Eugene/Eugene?
He never comes back.
He never.
Are you just trying to figure out where are they now?
Yes. Fuck. I feel like there's so many unanswered questions.
It's just randomly over now.
So we never see him again.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because it says we got for Ho-Oh, the bell tolls.
Legend of Thunder.
And then Legend of Thunder, and then that's it. He doesn't even come back in, like, any other cameo?
Not in Pokemon the series.
Okay, he's in Generations.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. God, okay. So sorry, Eugene/Eugene. Sorry, I was looking up Wani Wani, too.
My God. Wani Wani comes back.
Apparently, Wani Wani makes a cameo in Pokemon Ranger in the Temple of the Sea, and also in Diamond and Pearl, so...
As a super alligator.
Yeah. All right, that's... If your burning questions involved any of that, there you go.
Yeah, these characters keep coming back for some reason. Like, it's kind of weird.
But not in a memorable way, because I had to look that up.
No. These characters appear in Journeys. All that is to say, I think the people who worked in the special clearly really liked it, because these characters keep on making cameos.
I mean, they are the player characters in Gold and Silver.
Right. They just keep coming back.
I really wish that, like... Actually, I don't really wish this because I really don't care either way. I'm so sorry. Vincent should have shown up in Heart Gold, Soul Silver or something.
Oh, you wanted him to become Ascended Canon?
Yeah.
That's pretty rare for characters to do that.
I know. He doesn't get much of anything, like...
I think Vincent and Kudo need to fuck off because they're boring.
Anyway, that's it. To be honest with you, I was a little underwhelmed. I'm kind of tired of the whole, like, Team Rocket has a mysterious crystal. Like, they're capturing Pokemon. Like, that was the whole thing. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, it was very big Lugia vibes.
Operation Great Big Lugia. Thank you very much.
Operation Great Big Raikou. Got it. I wish Dr. Namba was here. That'd be way more fun.
Yeah, he would have been. You know what would have been fun to see if we had, like, the stoic, like, Gendo, you know, S character, Sebastian, and then we had, like, the Eggman / like, Professor Namba energy, like, in this
Namba, like, burst to the room, and he was like, what's going on?
I know. He, like, Sebastian keeps failing or something, and he's like, let me help ya, and, like...
He's like, I need that kitty cat!
It'd be so... I would love to see... I would love to see their two, like, conflicting energies.
And then he turns to Sebastian and's like, who are you?
I know. Damn, I should have had Josh on this episode. He could have done a Professor Namba voice.
Oh my gosh. Get him in here.
I would get... I'll see if he's available.
Let me try and be Josh being Namba.
Oh god, here we go.
Feel the rage! Now feel more rage!
That was actually pretty good. See, that would have been a much more fun episode. We could have had Butch and Cassidy. We could have had Team Rocket. We could have had Attila and Hun, the shenanigans. That might be too much overload, though. Too much Team Rocket energy.
Yeah, we don't need to get Josh every time Team Rocket appears. Well, which Team Rocket is appearing a lot recently.
They are. What do you mean, like Team Rocket proper?
Yeah, real Team Rocket.
Not Jesse and James.
Between Mewtwo Returns, the Lugia, Operation Great Big Lugia, and Legend of Thunder, and there's more Team Rocket to come.
Oh, good.
There's a lot of real Team Rocket.
I'm not mad. They're all right.
Okay.
Nambo's fun.
Oh, and the Iron Mask Marauder.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was real Team Rocket.
I forgot about that part. That was the Celebi movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Legend of Thunder. We finally got to see Raikou. My dream is fulfilled, and now we can move on.
MVP, LVP, and quote.
Yeah, oh my god, I forgot we had to do that.
You're first, I'm second. Jesus. And Jacob is never.
Never. My MVP is going to be Eugene/Eugene.
Because he sat on the sidelines long enough.
He did sit on. Oh my god, okay, just to tell you, I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 quotes and 3 of them are from Eugene.
Great, great.
One is from
Attila. All of them.
Okay. Okay, I will. One's from Attila, but that one's kind of boring. So my first Eugene quote is when Marina is like invading his personal space and like touching his clothing. He says, "A young lady, no one is permitted to touch the cape."
No capes.
No capes. And then the second one is when Team Rocket captures Raikou and also Marina. And he just stands there in the background and says, "Tragedy, misfortune, and woe."
That was my favorite one.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, I had to go back a couple times. I was like,
I'm telling you, Coke brain.
He is such a Phantom of the Opera type character. Like, and then when they're in his car, his sports car, off-roading, he says, "Hold on tight, boys. I'm going cross-country and it's gonna get a little bumpy."
He kept on calling them boys, and it was kind of alarming after a while.
Well, he's like 40 or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, know. He's like, "Okay, boys, hang on.
Hey,
like,
boys.
Boys, hold back, boys." Like, he was like, "Okay, we get it.
Boys." Yeah, so...
Boys, boys, boys.
Eugene was the most entertaining person by far, even though he didn't really do anything. Yeah, that's... Oh, my LVP.
Eugene.
Oh, no, God. Do I want to give it to him? Yeah, my LVP is going to be Officer Jenny and Kudo for doing absolutely fucking nothing.
Damn it.
Sorry. Like, why were they even there? They literally added nothing to the story. Like, if the only person who bashed in was, like, Eugene/Eugene, like, that scene wouldn't have lost anything at all. Like, if it was just him.
Filler, filler, filler.
It was bizarro. So, yeah, them.
My MVP... I'll have to think about it. First, I'm going to do quotes.
Tragedy, misfortune, and woe.
We already took that one. I'm just going to do every single quote I have that Attila said. Because Attila was completely my favorite.
Really?
Because he was, like, weird. He was, like, kind of silly. Attila's quotes include, "Just because they're busy doesn't mean I can't round up Thunder Wonder."
Thunder Wonder?
That's what he called Raikou at one
point. I missed that part.
At one point when they're trying to save Raikou and they're attacking the energy shield, Attila says... "It's like 3 people squeezing at once on a giant zit."
That was disgusting.
Oh my god, Attila's nuts.
Oh, do you have another one? Because I have another
one. Yeah, I have plenty more.
Oh, good.
This is when he sends out Muk. "Hey, little twerps, put on your raincoats and your galoshes, too." And then he sends out Muk, and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I think he has some brain damage, maybe, from all that time on the farm. Maybe he got kicked in the head by some Tauros or something. I'm not sure.
Possibly. I didn't write down his Caterpie quote, but it was also good.
He said, "I love Caterpies. They're such, like, gentle little creatures," or something.
Yeah. Vincent on the phone was like, "I'm gonna crush you like a Caterpie," or something. And he defended the Caterpie's honor.
Yeah, he's like, "Don't smack talk Caterpies. They're so great."
And then he called him a sissy boy, and I'm like, ugh. Not a fan of that. So Attila gets both my MVP and LVP for his toxic masculinity, but also for being a buffoon.
I like how I have one Attila quote that I wanted to say. Okay, let's
go for it.
I like his rhetorical, I'm assuming this is rhetorical, otherwise he's just like a complete moron. But he says something to Hun, and he's like, "Aren't legends like made-up stories or fairy tales or something?" I'm like, brother, you just, like, read the definition of a legend. Like, yes, that is what that is.
He gives me Kronk from Emperor's New Groove. He's like Diet Kronk.
Oh my god, you could... Yeah, Attila is Kronk and Hun is Yzma.
Yes.
Pull the lever.
The way he kept on saying hun every single time, it sounded very sassy. He's
hey,
like,
hon.
Hold on for a second, hun. It's like...
These goobers, they're the more I think about them, the more I love them, because they're so stupid.
I mean, there's nothing to hun but us not knowing their gender identity, but Attila's fun.
Hun is kind of like copy and paste, like white bread villain, like just plain and boring, like, I'm going to steal all the Pokemon children, ha ha ha. Like, that's kind of the vibe. But Attila,
Attila's like a deranged man who could kill you at any moment. But might not, because he might start blathering on about Caterpies.
That's true. Oh, thank God. Okay, that's over. So what do we have?
Okay.
What are we back to our regularly scheduled programming next week?
We are
week?
Back to our regularly scheduled programming. I don't know if Jacob will be with us, because he seems to run off at a moment's notice. But we very might have a special guest star, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Mystery
Maybe I
guest.
Shouldn't say anything in case it doesn't pan out, but...
We may or may not have a mystery guest next week.
Or it might just be Alex and Austin again. Who knows?
Your favorite duo, just like Attila and Hun.
Okay, who's Attila and who's Hun?
I don't know. I guess...
I think we're not Attila and Hun. I think we're Butch and Cassidy.
Yeah. No, are we more Jesse and James?
No, we're not lovable enough to be Jesse and James.
Are you Biff and I'm Cassidy?
I think I might be Cassidy, because I'm mean.
Oh, good. I'll be Botch.
All right, Ponch. Next week, we have Do's and Don'ts and Just Waiting on a Friend.
Okay, Do's and Don'ts and Just Waiting on a Friend. I'm going to have to remember that so I don't accidentally not watch the right thing.
Okay.
Hopefully, the site that I use has been in the correct
place. I'm going to send you a text to you and Jacob right now.
Thank you. Oh, my God. There's fungus gnats.
Oh, my God. No.
They've taken over my plants, and I've given up trying to save them.
I'm so sorry that I put all the fungus gnats in your apartment.
I know. It's Austin's fault because he got fungus gnat-infested Miracle-Grow.
I didn't know.
We didn't know. It's okay. All right. So, that sounds fun. We'll be back to our regular episodes next week. But we would just like to say thank you so much for listening to our shenanigans. As always, you can always hit us up on our social media. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can check us out on Twitter/X. But Twitter. Let's just go with that. @outofthedryingpan. Again, @outofthedryingpan. And we have an Instagram. I haven't updated it in a while, so sorry, but it's @outofthedryingpan. So you can follow us over there as well. And if you like what we do and just think we're super entertaining and wonderful, you can always check out our Patreon and support us over there. We've got different levels of tiers where you can subscribe to get access to exclusive content like notes and behind the scenes episodes and all kinds of fun stuff. So the link is in the description to our podcast. And as always, we just want to say thank you so much for listening, and join us next week as the journey continues.
Snubble, Ursaring, Yawnmoth, Smoochum,
Slowking, Blissey, Scizor, Donphin,
Houndoom, Octillery, Hooper, Mary,
Hitmontop, Meryl,
Umbreon,
Baby!
Sunkern, Ladying, Girafferig, Murkrow,
Remoraid, Jumpluck, Quilava, Smeargle,
Swinub, Macargo, Ferret Blossom,
Fluffy, Entei, Meganium, Magby,
Zazumas, Dreamers, Togetic, Choco,
Quagsire, Pinecone, Chimchapper, Alligator,
Hagrid, Kingdra, Unknown,
Suicune, Dither, Sizzling,
Skizzle. Gotta catch them all. Pokemon, gotta catch them all.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.